We're Kath and Ellie. Welcome to our podcast, Brave, Strong and Fulfilled.
Join us as we share all things real life and the lessons we've learned along the way. We hope that our conversations inspire, challenge and encourage you on your own life journey. Enjoy today's episode.
Ellie, I am so super excited because this week I can say congratulations. Your book has been published and it's out there in the big wide world.
It is, and it's, you know, it's exciting, it's nerve-wracking, you know, sitting in my seat wondering, oh, do people like it? How are people receiving it? And it's still the same sort of thoughts that I've battled with for the last, 6 months or so. You're just full of emotion, right? But thank you so much for being excited. I am excited. So thank you. I receive your congratulations.
And I'm so glad because I think this is really, you know, I've been thinking about this and I've actually been sort of quietly observing you and seeing so much of myself in you. When I launched my book, I don't know, what is it, 5 years ago now, I think.
Wow.
About it. So much of observing and watching your story just triggers and brings back so many of the same emotions, thoughts. And I remember, getting to the end and having it all published and a friend offered to host a launch for me.
Yes.
And like, oh gosh, you know, like, no, seriously, I've been stretched enough out of my comfort zone. Like, do we do this? And I felt like I felt like where other people wanted to celebrate my achievement, I was backtracking and backpedaling.
Hands down.
Wanting to kind of run the other way, and I kind of sense a little bit of the same happening I observe and watch from afar.
Well, your observations are correct. I have this beautiful, beautiful friend, Amanda Sadler. She's been a guest on our podcast before, and she wants to do, you know, help me with a launch. And from the minute she said it, I was like, why? Like, what for? And she's like, oh my goodness, Ali, you can't be telling and encouraging people. Like, my book's all about embracing life. She's like, Alison, you can't talk about embracing life and you not embrace the moment of celebrating. And wow. But I feel like it's kicking up a fuss. And I still think, is my book significant enough to create a fuss? Do you know all of those things? Yeah. So yes, you're correct.
Isn't it funny how it's so much easier to celebrate someone else?
Oh, hands down.
And then when it comes to celebrating something of our own or our own achievements or even our own like milestone birthdays, you know, I had a big milestone birthday last year.
Yeah.
And was quite relieved in a sense to just have relocated and moved because I had like a big, you know, a valid enough reason to not make this into a big,
big celebration.
And yet, the whole act of celebration is, there's something to be said about human beings celebrating life.
Yeah.
And celebration being a part of embracing life.
Yeah. Agreed. I just think about a time when I didn't celebrate. I didn't celebrate finishing my teaching degree.
Yeah.
Yet I had 5 kids. When I was finishing my degree, because I'd started, then we had a family, and then I had to go back and finish because I couldn't do my prac because I had too many children and nobody around to look after them. So, and I didn't go because, oh, well, I've finished. It's going to be another cost. It's time. And I didn't celebrate. And it wasn't, at the time, I didn't care. I didn't think. But I realized down the track, I really missed a moment to celebrate. All that, all the hard work, all the thought, all that the family, you know, how they had supported me and encouraged me as well. And I think I've learned from that enough to go, I don't want to do that again.
Reminded to self.
But it's easy. It's easy to just put it to the side and move on because often we don't do these things for praise and celebration. But I think by celebrating, like, it's so good for the spirit. It's so good for the soul inside to really stop for a minute. go, wow, you did what you set out, whatever that looks like, you did what you set out to do.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not about, you know, so what does celebration look like when it's not about self-seeking pride? You know, and I think this is often where we feel uncomfortable in the place, you know, because we don't want to appear self-seeking, or we don't want to,
that's,
you know.
True.
And I wish I could remember it, because you have such a brilliant quote in your book. So I have your book now. And you've written somewhere in there, and it's now on my Kindle, which is, because I don't have a hard copy yet, which I'm definitely getting, and my Kindle's not anywhere near, but maybe you know where it is in your book. You've written something about, you explain the difference between arrogance.
Yes, it's in the confidence chapter.
Oh, okay. So yes, if you can find it, you've got a lovely, like, it's like literally two sentences, the difference between.
Okay. Yeah. It's in the channeling my inner Theodore chapter, I believe.
Okie dokie.
But I say, now I'm fully aware that this could be perhaps, hang on. There's a big difference between arrogance and confidence. Arrogance is to look down on others and to consider ourselves as better than they are. Confidence is simply believing in ourselves and that we belong. Hey, that is good.
It is good. Yes, Al, it's really good. By the way, if you're listening to this, you need to get this book. It is it's a very small book, but it is jam-packed. And I said to Al the other day, it felt like, you know, it's not one of these books where you've got to go digging for the diamonds. Ali just presents the diamonds in each chapter, and she's just
so nice. Like,
what you've just read there. And I think that, you know, we can liken that to this whole notion of celebration. So if celebration is not about being arrogant and prideful and saying, well, you know, look at me, look at what I've achieved, look what I've done.
Yeah.
You know, celebration is embracing who we are and bringing others along for the journey. And
yeah,
so it's a time to also, as you say, thank others that have supported you and have championed your journey. And it's also giving other people a gift of being able to celebrate you. Because I mean, how often, like, if our children achieve something great, as a parent, we long to celebrate that.
Of course. Yeah.
And if our kids go, nah, don't worry, I don't want to celebrate, you kind of feel robbed of that moment.
I do. I know when my son turned 18 and he didn't want a party, I'm like, dude, it's not all about you. I gave birth to you years ago. Like, wanted to celebrate. Yeah.
So even there, like, so what if celebrating one of your own achievements is not all about you?
This is a fabulous conversation. I'm having all these light bulb moments right now. I'm realizing why it's uncomfortable. It's because I'm thinking it's about being arrogant, when it's absolutely nothing about that at all. It's not about that. And it's also allowing other people to celebrate as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because so many others have been listening and have been watching and, you know, are excited. And I remember for myself when I launched my book and other people started giving me feedback and saying, you know, they really love it and they actually want to order a whole lot for Christmas presents this year, and can they order five? And I remember being so, like, uncomfortable with that kind of feedback, because I'm thinking, sure, but was it that, you know?
Are you just being kind? Are you humoring me?
Yes, you know. And I think it's so funny how some of us, and it sounds like you and I are quite similar in this way, we've swung the pendulum so far away from, you know, like, fear of being arrogant or fear of being prideful or fear of, I don't know, shining our light.
Yeah.
Or being arrogant about shining our light, that we've swung it totally the other way and we want to just hide our light and see the value in it. And I know for me, I definitely felt that my book was a God-inspired writing.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think you've shared the same.
Hands down.
The book is a God-inspired writing. Mm. And so why wouldn't we want to share it with the world?
I know, exactly.
And yet it still feels so uncomfortable.
It does. But and I think that's part of, you know, you're saying before about pride. I have this sense of humble pride that, in spite of feeling so uncomfortable, in spite of feeling so unsure of all of these things and having these conflicting thoughts and emotions, still did it. So I still am really, really proud of myself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so you should be. Yeah. Now, just a curiosity, and this is like, sorry, I'm putting you on the spot here.
You are, but that's fine. This is, I'm happy to roll with this.
We've spoken about this, but how is this achievement, like the celebration of this achievement, different, or is it any different to the celebration of like when you finished your ultra marathon?
Is it different?
And how did you celebrate finishing your ultra marathon?
I didn't.
Oh, there you go.
I think it's the same feeling because both felt so ridiculously outside of my comfort zone and so ridiculously unattainable. Like, who sets out to run 100 kilometers? That's just stupid, right? And me to do that. So I had all, it just, both of those seemed so huge. Yeah, I think they're the same thing. I didn't celebrate. I got my little cowbell at the end and then bundled myself into bed because I couldn't move and then gave my family a hug when I got home. But yeah, I didn't celebrate, really. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. And as I watched you, you know, become quite emotional sharing that. And if you're happy to answer this next question, and you can say no if you don't want to.
Thank you.
So in talking about that now and in recognizing and realizing that that was a moment of celebration that you didn't embrace, do you feel a loss there?
Not really a loss. Yeah, there was a, yeah, no, you're right. There was a loss. There was like a, I've done it. Now let's do life. Like there was like a deflated, I guess there was a moment and a time of feeling a bit deflated and feeling, you know, because you get a t-shirt, right? When you even get the t-shirt if you don't finish. So that's fine, but you get the cowbell too when you finish. But even then wearing the shirt, I'd feel a little bit, am I showing off? Like, and I wonder if that would have been different had I just celebrated it. And you are spot on. There was definitely, okay, well, that's done.
And isn't it crazy that it's almost like for some of us, we don't appreciate the value in celebrating an achievement.
Yeah.
It's kind of like we've just decided for ourselves that, you know what, there's no, like, why, you know, why bother? Why do it? There's no real value. The value is actually in achieving the goal.
Yeah. You know? And there's some truth to that as well, you know, achieving what you set out to do. But is that, does it need to end there? Like, is that, because, I mean, I grew up, that was how we sort of thought that, you know, you set it out. Like, we weren't big on celebrating as a family. We sort of, it would semi-celebrate, mum and dad. I mean, I sort of said, Dad, we're celebrating your 70th last year. I was like, this is, we're all coming together. We're all putting this in because we're not big on that because you just get on with life. You just do it. Yeah. You just do things. Yeah. So I guess I've never really thought much about celebrating, to be completely honest. Yeah. And I think that's part of the uncomfortableness. But I can see with your questions how perhaps I've missed out on a little something. Yeah.
Well, if you're listening to this, you're invited to join me in this moment to take a moment to celebrate. I can see you squirming in your seat right now. Yeah. You know, to celebrate this moment. And because, you know, from the bottom of my heart, I think it's fabulous. I think it's awesome. Mm. Just on your comment there about, you know, do I wear this t-shirt because it's that arrogant? And how many times have you walked the Strand and seen someone else in their shirt?
Other person.
Yeah. And when you see them wearing that shirt, what do you think about them as a person?
It doesn't even cross my mind. I think, oh, wow, what they did. Like, I wonder what's the word? Like, what event that was for? Like, I'm curious.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I wonder what that was for, and I wonder where that was in the world.
I don't think, oh, show off.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's so funny. And the same with a book. If you, you know, when you saw my book, or if you see another friend's book and they're, you know, putting it out there,
show
you
off,
have thoughts like.
Actually, I'm a follower of, what's her name? Kern Lima. I always get her last names wrong. She's an amazing, she's got an amazing, amazing story. She's an American woman who started, you know, making products, skin products in her house because she was a journalist and had really bad rosacea, and her makeup would come off on camera. And, you know, it created all these problems. So she was like, okay, I'm going to come up with a solution for women to hide the rosacea. So she went on this journey, quit her job, started, she just felt prompted. She's a Christian woman, got so many no's when she was trying to sell the product, no's after no's after no's after no's. She became the first woman to have sold it after all of these no's to, I think L'Oreal bought her company for like $1 billion or something like that. She's the most, like the first woman to make that sort of amount of money in from the sale of her business or something to that degree. Anyway, she's written a couple of books, and her most recent one's called Worthy. I'm going to buy it. It sounds amazing. Now, when I watch her on Instagram going around, she's going through the shops, I've not thought for a single moment, oh, wow, what a show off. Like, look at her. Isn't that amazing? But she's got all of these posts all about who's seeing her book, and she's like, oh, my Worthy, her book, Worthy is worthy of windows, worthy. And, you know, she's just having fun with it. She's sharing it because it's a God-inspired book. It was on her heart.
And also what I'm hearing is, you know, books like that, and it comes back to what you were sharing. It's not about thinking you're better than anybody else. It's raising everybody up to being who they are. You know, and it's inspiring and encouraging other people to be who God created them to be. You know, it's drawing out the best in others.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if that's not your intention, that shines through in your actions.
That's right.
Because I think if her intention, just as an example, you know, was to say, look at me, look how great I am, that's the message that would come across.
Yeah.
But because that's not her intention.
And it's not her message.
About how she's being while she's doing that. Yeah, it just doesn't, not her message, so.
Wow. So I guess people tuning in today, having a listen to this, you know, maybe they haven't written a book, or they haven't, you know, celebration. We need to learn to take a moment to slow down in this crazy fast-paced world, take a moment and celebrate the win. So I'm going to do that. Thank you for encouraging me, and thank you to my friend Amanda, who's half forcing me.
Thank you, Amanda. And also, if you're listening to this, you know, I encourage you to take a pause and to ask yourself, what goals are you pursuing and following and achieving that you know, feel inspired to actually take a moment to celebrate?
Yeah.
And if you were to choose to celebrate something, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, because it doesn't, you know, it's being authentic with it as well.
That's right.
You know, whatever celebration means and looks like for you, it doesn't have to be a whole big bells and whistles thing.
No.
Whatever you need it to look like, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And there's neuroscience to back up celebrating, isn't there? And to do with the parts of our brain that it engages, and the wiring and the pathways. Because when we celebrate something, that is a chemical reaction in our brain.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a good one. You know, it's a happy one.
That's right. And then our body thinks, wow, I want to do that again.
Yes.
So then
inspire the next goal. Absolutely.
Whatever's the next thing. So I guess, yeah, there's the science to sort of, without going into it, because I don't have the information right in front of me, but I know there's science around that. If we were to do an episode and have a proper chat about it, that there is evidence that our brain thrives on these moments. So
absolutely. So, you know, the gift that you're giving others in celebrating with others and inviting them in to celebrate with you, it's a beautiful gift, really.
Yeah.
And so, Al, do we have time? I would love
to.
I know your chapter. So if you're listening to this, Al's book, do you want to just share the title with us again? Because I don't want to get it wrong.
The title of the book is Life Lessons with Theodore. And the subtitle is A 12-Step Reflective Journal Towards Embracing Life.
Short and sweet, 12 steps. And so I would love to invite you to read one of your 12 steps. Happy to do that. Sure. Just to give our listeners an idea of, you know, how each step is really, really, it's a fantastic book to pick up if you've only got 5 minutes, but you want to direct those 5 minutes in an insightful, useful way that's going to leave you lingering for the next hour or so in your mind as you get on with other things around what Ali shared, and just an encouragement in your day. And I just love that it's, you know, they're short, but they really heavy with insight and wisdom and value. So,
So nice to say.
Yeah, give it away.
thank you. Okay, so we'll read the chapter called Distraction, the Thief of Our Desires. And the quote at the beginning says, "Don't be on your deathbed someday, having squandered your one chance at life, full of regret because you pursued little distractions instead of big dreams." Mm. And that's Derek Sivers. So this morning I was attempting to walk home with Theodore after a swim at the beach. The problem was Theo didn't want to come home. So what did he do? He planted himself firmly down, facing the direction he wanted to go, which was back towards the beach. Now, as you can probably imagine, this was quite the hilarious sight for onlookers. Both of us parked on the footpath, both standing our ground, Theodore facing the beach, and me coaxing him in the opposite direction. His body weight is approximately the same, if not a touch more than mine. I wasn't sure I was going to win this battle. Theo sat firmly and faced exactly where he wanted to go, with his eyes focused on the beach. The beach was his one desire, his one goal. Luckily for me, Theodore didn't realize his size and power, because he could have easily dragged me towards the beach if he'd wanted to. So how was I going to get Theodore to turn around and compliantly walk home with me? Instantly, I knew what I needed to do. I needed to distract him. I realized that if I could get Theodore's eyes off the beach, I would be able to get him to walk home with me. I was still left with the problem of how to distract Theodore. My first strategy was boredom. We literally sat there. It felt like a long time, but it was probably a few minutes. After boredom, I tried circling him, a technique I had once seen on a dog training show. I would walk a step in the direction he wanted to go, only to circle back to the direction I wanted him to go. After several attempts, this finally worked. Tired of sitting in the same spot, Theodore became excited by the movement and he lost sight of the beach. Once again, he was happy to walk with me. Let me tell you, I breathed a sigh of relief that this little battle was finally over and I had won. As I continued my way home, it came to my attention that there were many lessons that I could learn from this experience. Here is what I'm reminded of. When I have a goal that I'm working towards, just as Theodore did, I need to sit with it. I need to position my body in the direction I want to go so I can clearly see where I'm headed and firmly fix my eyes on it. I have a number of goals that I'm currently working towards. When I'm focused, I'm determined, excited, passionate, creative, and I take the steps I need to move towards that goal. These are all incredibly important if I want to achieve my goals. But what causes me to lose sight of my goals? Distraction. Isn't it true that the moment I become distracted from my goals, I lose heart, getting caught up in the everyday things and forgetting what I'm working towards? I go back to the daily ins and outs of life, only to realize at some point down the track that I'm no longer heading in the direction I set out towards. As I walked home, I considered my goals and the power of distraction. I wondered what was distracting me from my goals and causing me to lose sight of them. Was it boredom? Boredom often sneaks in when there is a delay in reaching goals. It is easy to lose sight of my goals or to lose heart when it seems that it's all taking forever to get anywhere. Boredom and delay can cause me to forget my passion and the excitement that I once had to go after the things I desire. Or I wondered if perhaps I'm stepping forward in the direction of where I want to go, only to veer slightly off track due to becoming distracted by all the daily happenings in life. Either way, I've realized distraction is leading me away from where I actually want to go. My encouragement: sit tight, position your body facing where you want to go. Fix your eyes on your goals. Be determined. Don't allow distraction to cause you to lose sight of where you want to go. And then that's when the questions take place.
Oh, that's just so inspiring and so thought-provoking. And I know I'm going to be pondering on that for a while.
It's funny because as I was reading, I was like, I need to go back and read this and go through the questions because I'm wondering.
Yeah, and that's exactly, you know, the beauty of books like this is, you know, we all know that distractions take us off track. And yet to come back to a passage like that or to a chapter like that and to be reminded and to kind of help bring you back to what's important and what it is you actually want to focus on. And, you know, just the little thing. I love what you said about positioning your body and keeping your eyes focused where you want to go. And, you know, that's just the only takeaway. What amazing takeaway that is, you know. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me. I feel a bit hot and flushed from reading it. Isn't it funny? But thank you.
Oh, Elle, well, a big congratulations. And thank I know, you know, to our listeners, they're congratulating you as well. Yes. And so, Elle, where can we get your book? If we want your book, where can we?
Absolutely. The first place at the moment, it's available on Amazon, Kindle and paperback. And then I've also been in the process of popping it up on other platforms, so Ingram Spark, but they send them out to different shops. So I'm not 100% sure where else you can get it, but Amazon definitely. And if you're a local to Townsville, we will have a local celebration in, you know, in a couple of weeks. So I'll have some copies there for us to grab because that'll be easier than buying it online perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Elle, we celebrate with you.
Thank you.
We are so chuffed that you did have the courage to publish this because we are all blessed for it. And so thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for asking about it and for cheering me on. I really appreciate it.
Great. Well, have a great week and see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in.